There are three pastoral epistles in the Bible, in the New Testament. First Timothy, and Titus, and Second Timothy. And so there's a lot as pastoral epistles. They have a lot about the ministry. They have a lot about the local church. They have a lot about the preachers of the gospel. As we look, as we've also already introduced 2 Timothy, we know that 2 Timothy has within it a forward look. And it is instruction that has a forward look. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, it says, "In the last days, perilous times shall come." This is a forward look of the last days. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. It says, "Preach the word," verse 2, "be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." They is speaking about the people in the churches. "They will not endure sound doctrine, for after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." You know what itching ears are? Those are ears that go where? To the place where they hear what they want to hear. They go to church because of the pastor is going to tell them what they want to hear. Not because they want the truth, not because they want to be changed, not because they want to be convicted, not because they want to be true to God. No, they want to hear what they want to hear, and they're going to find a preacher who will tell them what they want to hear. And we see, of course, in 2 Timothy 2, we see the forward look in verse 2. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others all, who shall be able to teach others also." Perhaps we could call this the last days and the ministry. The last days and the ministry. We have here in this verse specific instruction about training, the training of ministers for the last days. And obviously, the will of God is that there will be a faithful ministry who will be faithful to God's word, just as the Apostle Paul, a faithful ministry, just as the commission was given to Timothy and all these instructions about being faithful in the last days. And of course, that's a picture to right now. Now, we know that there's always been a pressure downward in Christianity. And whenever there isn't a time of real revival and infusion of the Spirit of God, the pressure is always downward. A downward pressure in the churches. The downward pressure in Christianity. Of course, the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the history of the Old Testament, the vast majority of the Old Testament is a history of the downward pressure of man, sinful man, against the truth. And it is a testimony. It's sad. Read the Old Testament. Most of the Old Testament is about judgment. And most of the Old Testament is about the judgment of God coming on the people of God because of them turning from the truth. Now, the New Testament, we're in that same context. We're in the great days of the beginning of the church, the great days of revival in the New Testament. But now in the horizon is seen this apostasy that will come at the end of the church age, and the apostasy that will gradually come in a great sense over all that claims to be Christian. Now, the safeguard and the key to being faithful to God in the last days is the ministry. And he's talking about the safeguard of the ministry. Now, notice what he is saying. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. First of all, we have a teacher. First of all, we have a teacher. And then he says, what is supposed to be taught? The same commit thou to faithful men. The same. It tells us who is to teach, who is to train. It tells them what they are to train them in. And then it tells us who they are to train. Faithful men. And it tells us what those faithful men are to teach. Very interesting. We have a specific instruction about the training of the ministry in the last days. Specific instruction about the training for the ministry in the last days. Now, notice first of all we have qualifications for teachers. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. In this case, Timothy was to be the teacher. He was to be the teacher. Now, trying to kind of put this together, we'll kind of fit this in here. But this is kind of specific. It's telling us that not everybody should be teaching. The role of teaching the Word of God should be limited. Now, there's a lot of philosophies about who teaches the Bible. But I think the Bible is telling us if you want a pure ministry, better be careful who teaches. Notice it says, what are they to teach? They are to teach the Word of God. Now, we could take off on this, but let's look at a couple passages of scriptures. Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 9 and 10, This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. What were they saying? He's saying that the people, what do they want? They didn't want what the Bible said. They wanted the smooth things. The nice and smooth and everything is fine. Nothing is sin. You know, you're okay. Everything's going to turn out. The Joel Osteen type of gospel. Smooth things. Oh, that's what people want. Notice what it says in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way and the walk therein? And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Notice what it says. Ask for the old paths. You know, if you have any perspective of what's going on today, the young preachers aren't seeking after the old paths. There's an enamoration with the new. There's enamoration with the new in music. There's enamoration with the new in the philosophy of churches. This whole spirit has gone on into the whole way of the lifestyle of the Christianity. We don't want the old. We want something new. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. History merely repeats itself over and over and over. Because we're still dealing with sinful men and a holy God and eternal principles of truth that never change. Now, I'd like us to spend some time thinking about, because they kind of overlap, the qualifications for teachers are basically the same qualifications of who they are to teach. Because the people who they are to teach, they in turn are to teach. Now, you know, it's amazing today that we almost live in this idea that everybody's an expert. Everybody's an expert. You know, the old idea of the skilled craftsman teaching the young craftsman, you know, that whole idea has almost been lost. It's been lost in the ministry. You have someone who is unskilled, and they're just going to start off and they're going to teach someone else, and et cetera, et cetera. And you know, it's all of this whole attitude that you know, we want to hear what we want to hear. We want smooth things. We don't want to investigate the old ways. We don't want to investigate the blessing of God and how it came in the past. We want new paths. And so there's an overlapping here that is important. And I think that it's very important, very significant. It says you're supposed to commit to faithful men. Now, a faithful man is somebody that you can trust. A faithful man is someone that you can give them something and they're going to preserve it. They're not going to change it. They're not going to corrupt it. They're going to pass on exactly what has been given to them. Okay? Now, but people who aren't faithful aren't going to take what is given to them and pass it on. They're going to change it. Faithful men aren't going to pass it on in the same way it was given to them. They are going to do something with it that that changes the quality and the character of what has been given to them. That's what's happening today. Now, you go through that a few generations and you're in big trouble. Now, it reminds me of what it says in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and I was thinking about this. And after I thought about this, I thought, you know what? I'm going to take this seriously about which ordinations I go to. 1 Timothy 5:22, it says, lay hands suddenly on no man. What is it saying? It's saying, you know what? Don't be quick to ordain someone to the ministry. What are the qualifications or what are the characteristics of a faithful man? I have a number of things that I would like to say about a faithful man. A faithful man cannot be bribed. A faithful man cannot be moved by pressure. Turn with me to Amos chapter 5. Verse 12. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins, how they afflict the just, and they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Now, you know, America's justice system, a lawyer once told me that in America, you can get away with anything if you have enough money to hire the right lawyer. Now, that's not a very good statement. Not a very good truth. Because justice is not justice if a person can be bribed. Now, a faithful man is a man who will not be bribed. A faithful man is a person who will not be pressured by any situation to change what is the truth. You know, that's not always so easy. You know, there are pressures in life. So what does that mean? That means that you can't be changed by pressure. I just heard a preacher. His wife died. He had a ministry that, well, whatever, and fairly successful ministry, had the Bible college, etc. His wife died. Now I'm going to guess he's probably 55, 60 years old. His wife died. and gets remarried. And his church, the ladies used to dress very modestly. And they had standards of lifestyle that were godly. Now it's all going. Why? He was a man who was moved by the pressure of his wife. That's not a faithful man. You know, there's many preachers that won't take a stand against some particular thing because maybe somebody in their family got a divorce. Or maybe one of their best friends got a divorce. Or maybe because there's something in their life. And because they have something in their life, now they stop preaching against it and rob their people of truth. You know why? Because they're not a faithful man. You know, the message doesn't change by circumstances. The message doesn't change by who you know or who you don't know. The message doesn't change by who your friends are or who are your enemies. A faithful man is faithful to the truth under all circumstances. If their loved ones go the wrong way, they still don't change. That would be, that would be parallel to another statement that the Bible makes about the servant of the Lord. Notice with me, if you will turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. The church appointed men to go to Antioch and to give the message against the Judaizers, that circumcision was not a part of salvation. And notice what he says about these people that the church had selected. Verse 25, "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, what was he saying? You know, he was saying these men were selfless. These men were proven. They're proven faithful to God. They were willing to risk their life for the truth. Selfless. You know, a selfless person is required someone who will lose everything for the truth's sake, who will lose everything for the truth's sake. Now, you know, actually, the fundamentalist movement is young. That doesn't mean that the truth is young, but the modern-day fundamentalist movement is basically young. And if I can describe to you what the fundamentalist movement is, and why it is young, it is the fundamentalist movement as we know it is the result of the denominations all being mixed with liberalism. And as a result, there were good men in denominations with liberals, those who denied the Bible. Now, in our Baptist circles, in the Northern Baptist, let me describe it this way. The American Baptist Convention, which is a late development, the American Baptist preachers had their retirement with the American Baptist Convention. But the American Baptist Convention was being infiltrated by liberals in their seminaries. And finally, it came to a point where the men who really were fundamentalists, they had to take the Bible literally and obey the Bible. It says, come out from among them and be separate. What fellowship hath light with darkness? And they became known as separatists. They weren't going to cooperate with those who didn't teach the truth. And they weren't going to send their kids to schools where there's a mixture of truth and error. But there's one big hitch. If they left the convention, they'd leave their retirement behind. And if you know anything about the reality of ministry and ministers, you would put it in the setting that all these men lived on a very marginal salary. Right? Ms. Buddha? Very marginal salary. And to leave their retirement after being in the ministry 20, 30, 40 years would mean to enter retirement in almost poverty. And you know, as much as the young theologians and the young Baptists, so-called fundamentalists, are constantly criticizing the early fundamentalists, they don't know what they're talking about. Because these men left everything to be faithful to God's word. They hazarded their life for the gospel. You know, they were selfless. They were willing to pay the price for the truth. You know what? That fits the qualification of a faithful man, doesn't it? A faithful man. They cannot be bribed. Why? Because they are selfless. They cannot be bribed because they are selfless. They cannot be bribed because they consider the calling of God to be sacred. Turn with me to James chapter 3. And there's really so many things that could be said here that are very, very important about the ministry. James chapter 3, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, what is it saying? It's saying that, you know, what does it say? First Corinthians, it says, is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Why? Because we will all give account of ourselves to God. And what does this text say? This text says that a pastor, a teacher of the Bible, is going to be held to a higher standard than other people. You know why? Because you know what? When you teach in a Bible college, when you teach ministers, you're teaching the world. You're teaching the world. That life will affect thousands of other people. We think of that just a week ago, that wedding, Mike Frew and Sarah Raines. I mean, this is just not one couple. I mean, this couple is going out into the world to teach others and to reach others for Jesus Christ. This is a couple, like all young people who are going to go into the ministry, will have a worldwide impact. It says, we shall receive a greater condemnation. You know, young person, you think, oh, you know, I can think the way I want, and I can believe the way I want, and, I can kind of do what I want. Wait a minute. Don't you realize that you affect other people? You affect all the people around you. You affect the people in this church. You affect the people in this community. And those who are going to go to the ministry, they will affect a world. One of the problems we have today in Christianity is because we've had a looseness of this problem. We've had a looseness in regard to who you should train for the ministry. And the Bible is saying, it seems to me that the Bible is saying, no, you just don't train anybody. You train faithful men. And a faithful man can't be bribed. He can't be moved by pressure. A faithful man will die for the truth. A faithful man recognizes that the ministry is sacred, that he is handling sacred goods, that he dare not change it, that he dare not give it a new nuance, that he dare not lead people in a different direction. And you're thinking about the sacredness of the ministry. You know why I think there is a lack of the sacredness of the ministry today? I think there's a lack of sacredness of the ministry because a lack of a holy calling. Isaiah chapter 6. We have the calling of Isaiah to the ministry. But notice, in chapter 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He saw the Lord Jesus in his holiness. And notice his response to a holy God. And then it says, then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid upon his mouth and said, Lo, This hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin purged. And I also heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Notice the sacred call was because that was based on the fact that Isaiah saw the Lord in his holiness. And the Bible says in the Bible, in Exodus, as they were choosing out men that were going to be the leaders of the people, he says you need to find men that fear God. Where's the fear of God today? You know, young man, young lady, there's something that ought to fill your heart, and that is the fear of God. If there's anything that ought to fill a Bible college, and that ought to be about the atmosphere of that whole place, it ought to be the fear of God. If there's anything that ought to fill the heart of a young man going in the ministry, it ought to be what? The fear of God. You know what? I've said this a million times, but the sad thing is, most young people going out of the college, they have fewer convictions than they went in with. Most people going to a seminary have all the more reasons why not to believe anything than to believe anything. You know, it doesn't fit with the Bible, folks. It doesn't fit with the Bible. You know, faithful men are men who have a sense of the sacredness of the calling. They have a sense of the sacredness of the deposit of the treasures of this book. They have a sacredness, a sense of the sacredness of the ministry and of the direction it's going and the people that they will affect. They are not thinking about today. They are thinking not only about today, they're thinking about tomorrow. That's why the Bible says that men will not endure sound doctrine. The number one issue of sound doctrine is the direction that it is going. The Bible says sound doctrine is the doctrine according to godliness. You know, right doctrine produces godliness. Right doctrine causes a person to become less in love with the world and more in love with God. Right doctrine causes a person to be, let's put it simply, more conservative, not more liberal. It causes a person to hate the world and love the Lord more. You see, we're in sad days, aren't we? Because the problem is that we're not being careful about who we're teaching. And the problem is that many of the people who are teaching don't meet the qualifications of the Bible. Now, I'm sad to say, if you go to many institutions today and you see the kids of the teachers in those Bible institutions, their kids are a mess. They love the world more than they love the Lord. And you know what that tells me? That tells me there's something wrong. It tells me there's something wrong. Notice their sacredness of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is comparing his ministry with the ministry of false apostles. It says 2 Corinthians 4:2, it says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully. I can't forget one man that we came to meet. He came to some preaching services, and I think I gave him a pamphlet about compromise. And he read the pamphlet, and he went to his pastor. And he says, Pastor, is this what this fellow is saying? Is this true? And the pastor says, yeah, that's true. And he said to the pastor, How come you don't preach it? If it's true, why don't you preach it? Well, he didn't give the answer. You know why he wasn't given the answer? Because he was handling the Word of God deceitfully. He knew that if he preached what the Bible preached, he would have less people in his congregation. But you know, all his people were thinking that he was preaching the Bible. But when you pretend to be say you're preaching the Bible and you aren't preaching all the Bible, you know what? That's handling the Word of God deceitfully. You know, the issue today is in many cases. You know what the issue is? The issue today is the fact that in many situations, it's not what they preach. It's what they won't preach. It's not what they preach, but it's what they won't preach. And there are certain subjects you'll find that many of nationally known preachers, they just won't preach those subjects. The carefulness with God's Word. Notice another important truth, Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 12, it says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now what is he saying? He's saying, now you ought to be teachers, but you can't be teachers because you have never learned the meat of the Bible. Now, the meat of the Bible is not the intellectual meat of the Bible. It's talking about something far different than that. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about understanding of the truths of God's Word because of obedience. Why were they babes? Because they didn't have their senses exercised. What does that mean? That means when they read what the Bible said, they didn't obey it. And because they didn't obey it, they have stayed babies in their spiritual life. But what is it also implying? It's implying in order to be a teacher of the Bible, you have to be one that obeys it. You have to obey what it says. Who is a faithful man? A one who has proven their faithfulness by obedience to God's Word. Isn't it sad that we live in a day in which there's such resistance to obeying God's Word? Isn't it sad we live in a day in which there's so much resistance to doing what is right? You know why preachers can't tell you what is right music and what is wrong music? I tell you why. Because when the Holy Spirit said to them, that's wrong kind of music, they didn't obey. And when the Holy Spirit said, you ought not to go to that movie, they didn't obey God. And when the Holy Spirit said, you know what? Those things don't edify you. You need to get them out of your life. They didn't obey God. Obedience. We could go on a number of things. I have a number of lists here of faithful men. I have selfless. I have solid. They won't take a bribe. They're honest. They don't twist the Bible. They are spirit-filled. They get their illumination not from their brains, but from the Holy Spirit. They have a sense of the sacred. They have the fear of God. They sense the responsibility of the ministry. They have their senses exercised. They are obedient. We could go on. Faithful. You know what happens when you give the Bible to people that aren't faithful? It becomes an academic pursuit. It becomes wooden knowledge. It becomes an exercise in intellectualism. It becomes a novelty. Paul is telling Timothy, in the days of apostasy, you'd be very careful. You need to be very careful. Who trains your men? You need to be very careful who you train. And because it is so important that those who go into the ministry aren't looking for new paths. They are seeking to stay to the old paths as closely as possible. Because to veer off the path will affect generations and generations in the future. These are serious things. And young men, someday the ball is going to be all in your court. And you are going to be the ones that will be responsible for God, before God. Which direction your Christianity and those that you influence, the direction that it will take. You know, God uses men. And God needs men. You know what? He needs ladies. There's not a faithful preacher who's faithful that doesn't have the backing of his wife. There's not a faithful preacher who doesn't have the backing of his wife. It's a team. These are serious things. Of course, all of these things, none of these things are possible unless a person has come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. None of these things are possible unless the person has been born again. Lest a person has come to know the God of the Bible. Now, there's secondly an application that every father that is here, every mother is here. There is, in a sense, in which all of these things that we have said apply to you. Because you have a sacred calling of raising your children for God. And what you do with those children will affect countless thousands and perhaps continents. You know, Dad, you have a big influence on your kids. If you want to slack off, that's not good. You know, somebody has to pay the price. A dad has to be selfless. A dad has to do right because it's right. And you know, and we need to make some changes in our lives because if we don't, we're being a bad example. And we're affecting generations and generations to come. These are serious days in which we live. And each one of us can do something ourselves to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Everybody can be a part of the solution. You know, it doesn't matter if you're almost 90 like the Buddha's here. But you know, I think, you know, when I'm preaching hard, you know, Mrs. Buddha or Grandpa Buddha, they're going, yeah, that's right, preach it. They're doing their part. When you get back to the old paths. And young people need to do their part. Young people need to say, hey, we're not going to go try to invent something new. We want to go back to the old paths. The old paths of truth. And stand and preserve the truth for the ages and the people to come. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray that, Lord, as we think about this very serious proposition from the Word of God, very serious instruction in the last days, Lord, I pray that each one of us will take it seriously, that each one of us will look to you and say, what can I do? Each one of us could say, I don't want to be about, I don't want to have anything to do with the pressure to make things looser in Christianity. You know what? Maybe that will mean that you have to make some changes in your own lifestyle. Lord, help us to be that selfless people. Help us as people who recognize the sacredness of the gospel and of the Word of God and the sacredness of preserving the future for right. And I pray that, Lord, each one of us would be honest with ourselves about the fear of the Lord that's in our own hearts and our our loyalty to the truths of the Word of God, no matter what takes place, and our faithfulness to Jesus Christ, no matter what it might cost us. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord is speaking to your heart, and you say, you know, I realize that in my life I've been slipping. I've been slipping in my attitudes. I've been slipping in my standards. I've been slipping in my lifestyle. I've been a part of the downward pressure. And the Lord is showing me how wrong that is. And there's some repentance needs to take place in your life. And there needs to be a turning to the Lord to not be a person that just changes with the times and the downward cycle of our society or even the weakness of Christianity. But you need to be a part of the solution. And the Lord is maybe speaking to you about some specific things in your life, maybe about a careless attitude, about your lifestyle, about your attitude towards the Bible and truth. The Lord has spoken to your heart about not being a part of the problem, but being a part of the solution. And just by an uplifted hand, say, you know, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to my heart today. There's some changes I need to make in my life. I'm going to be a part of the solution and not a part of the downward pressure in the last days. Anyone here today, God has spoken to your heart about that. Okay. Amen. Others, praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Amen. Okay. Many hands. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know what? God has called me to the ministry. And even as we've heard this message today, the Lord has spoken to you about your need to have more of the fear of God in your life. And not to be a part of that crowd that's looking for something new, but a part of that crowd that is wanting to recapture the truth.